Jack Johnson on Nova 103.5, the time, 8 minutes past 11. Kathleen hanging out with you. Hope that your Monday is amazing so far. So, sure, man, I got a heavy story for you. Black Beach, 491 days in one of the world and Africa's worst prisons. What was supposed to be a short business trip to Equatorial Guinea turned into a journey to the depths of hell. Black Beach, located on Bioko Island off the mainland of Equatorial Guinea, is one of the world's most feared prisons, notorious for its brutality and inhumane conditions. Now, in 2013, South African businessman Daniel Jansen van Rensburg set off to the West African country to finalize a legitimate airline contract with a local politician. Within days, Daniel was arrested by the local rapid intervention force and detained without trial in the island's infamous Guantanamo cells and was later taken to Black Beach. This is his remarkable story of survival over nearly 2 years, made possible by his unwavering faith and the humanity of a few fellow inmates. Black Beach is a harrowing account of Daniel's nightmare ordeal behind bars at the notorious Black Beach prison in Equatorial Guinea, West Africa, an explosive exposé on corruption and abuse of power at the highest levels of government in the oil-rich nation of Equatorial Guinea, and Daniel's ultimate journey into hell, trapped behind the walls of one of Africa's most brutal prisons. Now, Daniel is here in the studio with me. Is it Daniel? Daniel?
Probably Daniel is easier.
Daniel, I read this and I felt horror. I got so scared for your sake when I read this. And I've got so many questions for you. But first of all, why did you decide to write the book?
Yeah, at first I didn't want to, but everybody kept on asking me what happened and why it happened, and with all these questions and so on, I kept on, you know, thinking maybe it's an idea. And then my doctor actually told me for my trauma and so on that it's good to help with the healing and so on. And but that didn't really help. But at least we've got a good book out.
Sure. What you're in Namibia now, you're touring in Namibia now, promoting the book. What is your connection to Namibia?
Yes, well, I married my school sweetheart from Windhoek, and I also was at school here at St. Taurus High School. Lived here for many years. Both our children are born here. So we've got a great love and a passion for Namibia.
Let's start at the beginning. What were you doing in Equatorial Guinea?
I've been working there for just over 2 years on a new airline that we are setting up, and we just finished getting all the documentation and certificates in place and so on. And I actually traveled there to start signing the last paperwork and so on so we can get the planes up and running.
And have you worked in that region before?
Yes, I've been working there since 2001.
And who were you working for?
I worked for a lot of different companies there and so on. I actually started with DSTV. That's how I ended up there. I started an agency for DSTV there. And by default, in my love of airplanes, I always had friends in the airline industry and so on. So when they needed an airplane there once, they asked me if I could help. That's how I got into the airline business.
Now, what went wrong?
That's a very good question. I actually have got no idea why I wanted to cancel, because they never said. Everything was in place. Everything was going right. Up until today, I still don't know why he wanted to cancel. He just one morning called me and said he wanted to cancel.
The politician you were supposed to meet with.
That's correct, yes.
Now, inside Black Beach itself, the prison, what were conditions like?
Well, you know, it's difficult. You know, we all have an idea of what a prison's supposed to be from TV series and books that we read and so on, and newspapers you look at and so on. But I always say, you know, if you can imagine all these prisons and so on and multiply about 100 times close to this, because it's just one cage that we're all in. It's women, children, up to 11-year-old boy was
everybody
with us.
Everybody together.
Everybody together. And, you know, that makes, you know, rape and abuse something daily, you know, which is it's the most horrific thing you can think of.
Do you think you'll ever get over the trauma of everything you saw, everything you endured?
Maybe eventually, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things that I can't remember. I still have, a lot of memory loss and so on. I think it's probably your brain trying to protect you still and so on. We've just actually just focused on each day and be grateful for each day that we have and focus on what's in front of us. Everything else falls in place then.
What was the worst incident that you experienced that stuck with you even now?
I think the worst was something that that really, really gets to me is abusive woman. And this young bank teller was arrested because she was accused of helping bank robbers. And she was a beautiful young girl, professional, well dressed, and she was like fed to the animals. You know, it was terrible. She was brought in there, and everybody knew, she's going to be raped. And there's absolutely nothing that you can do. There's a young gang that was there. They grabbed her into one of the cells, and the screams. It's something that you can't do anything about it because it's just one of those situations where your hands are tied behind your back, because if you intervene, you become also abused. That was something and will be something that will be stuck in for the rest of my life.
And you've been convicted and sent to Black Beach. There would have been an end date to your ordeal, but as you were legally detained, you didn't know when the nightmare would end. So how did you cope with that, not knowing?
Yeah, that's actually the worst part, is that, you've got no dates, you've got nothing to work with, and there's no sentencing, so that this is pure abuse. And unfortunately, more than half the people there are actually like me, and indefinitely. They don't know. The boy that stole the mango, he just stole a mango.
It's Ace of Base, Star Nova, 103.5, Edge of Heaven, Black Beach, 491 days in one of the world and Africa's worst prisons. Daniel Janssen van Rensburg's story makes for a riveting read with a cast of characters straight out of a Hollywood blockbuster. Fat cat politicians living a life of luxury in palatial homes around the world, private jets, super yachts and lifestyle kings. In prison, as the only white man, he is known as Blanco. Gangsters, murderers, and thieves are his nearest neighbors, with some ultimately becoming his friends, sharing their food and water with him, taking care of him as he battled malaria and typhoid. And through it all, his motivation to stay alive is his faith in God, truth, and justice, and the thought of returning home to his wife and family in South Africa. Daniel is in studio with me today, talking to me about his ordeal. Daniel, I believe that there was a period when you were living in a brothel under house arrest, and that there were opportunities to escape from Equatorial Guinea. Why didn't you?
That sounds terrible. it was a friend of mine. I couldn't. I had to find a place to stay. The embassy couldn't help me for accommodation and so on, and I had to find a safe place, and this place, although it sounds terrible, it was actually a very safe place because there's security the whole time. They're open 24 hours for business, obviously, and so on, and the guards could look after me. There was food, and my friend could look after me there.
Was that after you were released from the prison or not?
There was a period in between where I was released and so on before I was sent back again. The embassy tried to help me and so on, but they weren't able to.
Why didn't you try and escape at that point?
The South African ambassador managed to get me out the first time, and he asked me to give him my word to him. And that was the one reason. The other reason was I realized that I had to prove my innocence. If you do business in Africa, and especially in a country like this and so on, you're always thinking that there's something funny going around, or, you're taking advantage and so on. And I always knew that, I don't like moving around in a gray area. It's got to be right or wrong.
Yes.
And I realized that if I escaped, I would always be marked as, quite possibly I deserved it. And I didn't want that for my family or myself.
What were the embassy staff like?
Oh, they were fantastic. You know, really fantastic. I'm still in contact with a lot of them. They were, the word Ubuntu comes to mind. You know, they opened up their homes. They fed me. They gave me money, food. But I think the biggest thing that they gave me is love. You know, they really, wow. You know, it's when you've given up hope virtually. You know, things are really bad. Everything is going wrong. They greet you with a smile. They give you a hug. They listen to you. And, you know, for that, I'll be always grateful for.
And the SA government, did they help?
Unfortunately, no. You know, President Zuma was there, I think, 3 times on a visit. And all 3 times, the dossier was put down by the ambassador, but he never picked it up and it was never asked for.
Och, nee. Something I'm also wondering about is the fact that gangsters, murderers and thieves became friends of yours, sharing their food and water with you inside the prison. How did that happen? Why do you think they had sympathy for you?
I think, you know, it's not so much sympathy for me, but we're all in the same boat, you know. We're all trying to survive. We're all there for different reasons and so on, but we all have to survive there. And you need friends. You need people around you. Thieves even steal from themselves, you know. You know, it's just one of those things. And to survive, you cling on to somebody that thinks possibly the same as you. I think a lot of them were in bad situations where they made wrong choices and so on. And they deserve to be there. A lot of them were put there like me without any sentencing and so on, just being a foreigner in the wrong place. Sure. So it was probably out of necessity, survival, that we made friends and so on. Probably a normal society would never even bump into each other.
And then finally, one of the most endearing characters in the book is your dog, Bubbles. Can you tell me a bit more about Bubbles?
Yeah, sadly, he's not with us anymore. He passed away about 2 years ago. You know, it's one of those, God gives you sometimes a special dog, you know, and this one was special before. He grew up with my children as well. And while I was away, he was a comfort to Milani. You know, she slept with him in her arms every night. He was everywhere with her, a shadow for her. And when I got back, he just moved over to my side of the bed. And I think he helped healing a lot because he forced me to go on walks with him. He forced me to get up, forced me to go outside. And I didn't want to go outside. So I've got a lot to be grateful for that little doggy.
Daniel, iemand wat graag die boek wil kry of jou graag wil ontmoet. Ek glo daar's of ek hoor daar's vanaand 'n plek waar jy gaan wees waar hulle jou kan kom ontmoet.
Ja, ons is vanaand by Fresh and Wild, ek dink ook bekend as Utopia, daar in Klein Windhoek. Ons begin is so 6:00 vir 6:30. Die boek is beskikbaar daar ook. Ons sal daar wees as die Vader se wil is. Maar die boek is oral in al die boekwinkels beskikbaar. Dis ook op Kindle en Amazon om af te laai.
En dan jou webtuiste. As iemand graag op jou webtuiste wil gaan en 'n bietjie meer lees oor jou.
Ooh, nou vra hy vir my vas.
Gelukkig goed, ek kom hier voor my. Dis www.daniel.africa. So it is named www.daniel.africa if you want to go to Daniel's web address. And if you want to meet Daniel or you want to buy the book, you are so welcome to join them this evening at from 6:00 onwards at Fresh and Wild at Utopia. Daniel, enige ander woorde van jou kant wat jy graag vir iemand wil sê wat luister? As miskien 'n bietjie raad vir as jy gaan besigheid doen in Afrika land? Enige raad wat jy vir iemand wil gee?
Ja, ek dink eerstens sal ek wil sê dat wat ons geleer het is dat ons moet waardeer wat ons vandag het. Jy het net vandag, dinge verander so vinnig. Dit kan 'n siekte wees, dit kan 'n ongeluk wees. Daar's so baie goed wat net vinnig verander. As jy nie waardeer wat voor jou is nie en wat jy nou het nie, ek dink dit maak jou net die lewe ook makliker as jy dit doen. Vir raad om besigheid te doen. Ek dink nie, ek sal nooit sleg praat van Equatorial Guinea as sulks nie. Dit was net 'n paar individue wat dit so is. Daar is ongelukkig oral in die wêreld sulke elemente. Ek het verskriklik baie goeie vriende daar nou nog. Ek is baie lief vir hulle in die land. Afrika as 'n kontinent is ongelooflik. Ons het die beste kontinent in die wêreld. En as jy wil in Afrika besigheid doen, asseblief doen dit. Ons het ongelooflike mense. Ons fokus op die negatiewe, fokus op die positiewe. Daar is so baie liefdevolle en ongelooflike mense om te ontmoet. Baie dankie.
Thank you, Daniel. That's Daniel Jansen van Rensburg. He's a South African businessman who spent 491 days in one of the world and Africa's worst prisons. Remember, this evening at Fresh and Wild at Utopia is the book launch if you would like to join them. Otherwise, you can also go to the website. It's www.daniel.africa.